Welcome to the Certainty Roundtable podcast, designed for those advisory teams preparing for the fast emerging new era of financial advice in Australia. Hosted by Jim Stackpool, founder of Certainty Advice Group, with over 30 years experience advising advisory firms, the Certainty Roundtable podcast brings together the growing group of Certainty Advice firms as they share their insights, experiences, as they attract, attain, price and manage their valuable advice clients and advisory teams. Now, here is your host, Jim Stackpool.
G'day, Jim Stackpool here with another in our round table series. We're talking about merging and buying of clients and or businesses. Overall, I'm not a fan, and really at the moment for Certainty Advice firms, I'm not really a fan. There are some conditions or requirements which I'll outline in this, but there's a lot of different thinking and thoughts, and one of the key things is what stage of development you're at and what type of business are you thinking or client base are you thinking of purchasing. Anyway, check it out. So this whole concept of merging and buying client bases, obviously the key core principle is this one, you know, this whole idea that the cure of the part shouldn't be attempted without the treatment of the whole. And so this is our bias with everything we're about to talk about, this cure of the part shouldn't be attempted without the treatment of the whole. And so, and a lot of you have heard it before and want to keep coming back to this sort of stuff. And the other key interesting thing I want to share with you quickly is what I call these four generations of advice, again, to have some context to our conversation. So in this whole, the first generation of advisors are fundamentally what we would call product or specific service deliverers. And these deliverers are specific self-managed super fund experts. These are like the super funds, risk experts, and that's their job. They sell product and they're not, and it's we need product. They're selling product or they're selling a specific service. That's generation one of advice. Needs a really key part in the industry. It's not us with Certainty Advice because we're doing the cure of the parts. Can't be attempted without treatment of the whole. You've got the second generation of advice and the buying and selling of bases for this group. Yeah, they buy and sell bases because they add more products, get more revenue. They add because the revenue is aligned to the service or the revenue is aligned to a specific product. The second generation, they've gone beyond buying and selling products and they're actually in the business of platforms. And they set up a platform. So they're platform providers. And a lot of the amalgamations and stuff over the years, the Shadforth deal, some of the other lots and lots of deals were this saving on a platform. We'll switch the clients across. We'll get a saving on the platform. We'll make an arbitrage on that. We'll make a benefit. We might pass some of the benefit onto the client. And their business model would move beyond simply buying and selling of products to actually putting people on a platform, which looked after the whole of the client. Some of them would say it's holistic, whatever, but really their fundamental proposition was putting more and more clients on a platform. And the buying and selling of bases, this was integral to them moving forward. And then they pick up a couple of advisors with that maybe. The third generation of advisors are what we call those fundamentally who have done either one or two, but they're fundamentally in search of the liquidity event. And so they've done the platform purchase, or they might be doing this, but these are generally generation two advisors that are now for whatever reason are actually looking to, and this is where some of the amalgamation groups who are buying and acquiring, but the whole proposition is, we're going to get it to a certain level of mass and then do a liquidity event, third generation of advisors. And so buying and selling a merger basis, this group, yeah, really cool. Now the fourth generation of advice, fourth gen, this is Certainty Advice. And so therefore the context of our conversation today is around this fourth generation where we're building businesses that are making great profits from clients that are re-engaging in great relationships based upon the value delivered, regardless if there's a product or a platform or a specific service in place. And so my overall comment on this whole merger and buying bases, there's two specific instances where I think it's a good idea, but for the rest of the time, I don't think it's a great idea. I don't think buying and selling bases is a great idea for firms that are practicing fourth generation advice. But there are, but it is a good idea if there's a couple of distinct probably hurdles that firms are already achieving. So I just want to firstly reflect on that. When you hear about buying and sellings, and I'd say a lot of the buys and sells and compliance has pushed a lot of these through in the last few years. Because it's getting too hard, so we can do a liquidity event. I think there's a lot of purchasing going on because people have got a certain base, and then I can actually see I can leverage up to the next revenue level if I take on a base, all that sort of stuff. But I think for this sort of proposition, yeah, I'm not so sure.
Is it a base or is it a business? It's probably two parts, isn't it? I'm more interested in buying a business than I am about buying a client base.
Yeah, spot on. And so I think, you know, and some of these platform businesses, platform providers, they buy lots of different silos, and they sort of maybe have all lots of different propositions, but it's all under the one base. You know, groups like Charterbridge used to be like this. Is it really a business? Is it a put pari? What do you share? Is it apart from just common resources of photocopying, compliance, boardrooms, meeting rooms, etc., things like that? But is it a business? Does it have a consistent profitability, a consistent model of engagement, a consistent model of pricing, consistent model of HR? I think, and some of these would say they're businesses, and if you look at some of the prices that were paid, particularly, and I think Shadforth for me represents, that was the pinnacle event. That was the podium best finisher, what those guys, Shadforth got when IOOF came around. Brilliant negotiation by Tony Fenning at the top of that. But that to me was the pinnacle of the platform businesses seeking a liquidity event. And I know it because I was around those tables when that platform, when that Shadforth group was first amalgamated many, many years ago. But so let's get into this then. What are the pros and cons as we go about this certainty when we lose from a fourth generation perspective of actually buying a base?
I don't think the issue is going to be obtaining clients in the future. I think it's more going to be getting the right clients. So to go and buy a base of clients, or a book of clients, you essentially, unless it's a business that's established under a similar type vein, a certainty or a certainty advice business, you're potentially going to be encountering grandfather issues.
And did you get into any, so anyone listening to this now, how do you identify you're getting the right clients or from a right business? Was there any conversation about that? Because I think you're right. I think getting the right clients at the right time for our business is quite crucial. I think there's four criteria at least around what that helps.
We probably focus a bit more on retaining staff. I think that was my pressing issue.
We can't buy businesses or clients without staff. And it's a perpetual problem for Jared and I and probably Joel. But so that's our issue.
But yeah, I think to a certain extent, the whole purchasing of quality team members, this is where... Well, if you've got clients with it, maybe that's a good... But in the old days, you know, the team members were sort of the icing on a cake and we wanted the client base for the revenue base. And we would say in the new days, the base is the client, is the team members, and maybe there's some clients on top as well.
On the con side of things, I guess we sort of spoke about, some of the compliance issues you might have buying a book of clients now and, you know, where things are up to in terms of, you know, FTSs and service packs and all that type of thing.
Yep, spot on. I'm generally against the idea unless you're getting really good team members or unless you're another phase, which I'll cover in a sec. I think mainly I've consistently seen productivity drop when you bring on a base. We then spend all this time having to meet the clients, meet the new people, play nice to the sellers, have some sort of margin period where you're actually overlapping the two systems, bringing people on board, figuring out if the new people are right, but whilst you've still got another business trying to run, which is your old business. I see this quite often when we buy a business for firms in generation 1, 2, or 3. And I reckon it's like renovating your kitchen, your lounge room, your TV room, your bedrooms at the same time trying to live in the house while you're also trying to build the house next door. And so neither get done really effectively. The key objective here is to raise EBITDA, raise profit, because I would say that the models that you're building are going to be very, very attractive to people that want to jump into a fourth generation firm and they're still thinking around second or third generation firms. Because as they see that second and third generation firms just will not cut the mustard in 2 or 3 years' time through commoditization, maximizing your profitability or potential profitability and the trends of that is absolutely crucial.
And I guess that's my focus, Jim, is also blueprinting that so that it is, the rule book, if you like.
It's not dependent on you. It's just the clients get the value. They keep coming back. We keep the majority of clients in that fourth generation firm. I truly believe, and, you know, this is the obviously cordial I drink every day, but the fourth generation firms have got it's a whole new platform. It's like a PC platform compared to the hardware platforms of old days when you're actually just building really valuable relationships. Because when you build a platform that can build really valuable relationships, you can put any product that may be needed down that channel.
My only other concern that I mentioned in our breakout group was was basically, how do you know you're getting the right clients? Like, what if you know they're not in your ideal bracket? What if, you know, you buy a book of 200 clients, but really only 40 of them really suit what you want to do with a certainty model?
And in fact, you know, if you're buying a book and you're looking for anything more than maybe 30% or 40% of that book to stick, it's probably a bit too ambitious.
Yeah.
Because the 80-20 rules are alive as well, where we're probably getting most of the results from a minority of the clients.
No matter how much due diligence you do, the seller is always going to try and spin it the way they perceive you want it to look. So there's a risk there.
Yeah. Yeah. Spot on. I think a big con is it increases dependency on the most productive resources, which is the principals. They're the ones that usually have to oversee the whole embedding, purchasing, developing.
I think the biggest thing I've found in this process so far is capacity. So if we're at capacity already, mm-hmm. how the hell can you do this without actually going and buying another and then having to train someone else in this process? I just think that capacity is a massive issue.
I think you nailed it. I think this whole is how can this actually leverage our capacity challenges? So what are the criteria? If it does make sense, and I totally get the whole conversation, and I think, because I'm not really for it, unless it's probably Jared pointed out at the beginning of this, it's for capacity challenges, where actually the real cake bit I want is the talented team members. I don't want all the clients that are coming, Ross, going back to Janine's point. I just want some of those team members that are already skilled up and have a propensity to deliver fourth generation advice. They're not coming on board just to deliver and maintain a base. Or alternatively, they might be coming on board to maintain a base as if they're from a second or third generation firm, but they release some of my team to come and play fourth generation advice. So I think these are the core criteria. One is a 66% fee tension. I don't want any more than 66% of the base coming across. I want all the base to new co. I don't want to bring in any old co from the base across. I want any new team member, and I think there's a caveat on this, all new team members go to the front office. So they go to front office, they go to, meaning that they are playing in new co. The only exception to that is where a new team member, if I can get a new team member with this purchase, replaces someone of my team that allows them to come into the front office and drops off the other stuff that they may have been doing if they're straddled old co, new co. So I think if you're buying bases and you're still not making your, what we would say, your precedent level, you're still not getting to that, your valuation level. If you're buying, you're going to add to your chronic undercharging problem. Undercharging for value, not undercharging, just undercharging for value.
Yeah.
And so if we take on a base, and I think it's very hard to do this unless we've taken this, we're now quite selective on our clients. We're pushing more towards a new co model. And we only buy at those stages. And I still think if you're not getting a good return, that $750,000 return per senior advisor, and you're getting that closer towards that, a purchase is going to be deleterious, in my opinion. I personally think accounting firms are ripe for renovation. So a firm that comes from an accounting base is ripe for renovation, provided the talent, so going back to Jared's point, is also ripe for renovation. If they're coming across to retire, or if they're coming across to just continue what they were doing, but now with a different group, no, we don't want them. But I think that the discounts you're getting on usually a staffing base that's been trained to look after the whole of the client life, and if you're picking up some millennial team members and you're not paying the ridiculous premiums that's still up here on some of the bases, which is still generation one, two, or three firms, I think accounting firm integrations make a lot of sense. And if Steve's right with a one-time attainable earnings on some of those client bases down there who have never seen a certainty advice approach or a fourth generation type proposition, again, the caveat, are you ready for it? But if you can bring up the young millennial talent and that sort of base, I think you'll get a quick return on your spend. There you have it. What do you think? You know, the four generations of advisory firms. You know, is it a product seller? Is it a platform seller? Is it someone looking for a liquidity event? Or is it what we call the fourth generation firm that maybe like coming together of minds? Jared Sterling's point is really spot on. It's sometimes the entree to pick up quality team members. Provided those team members are getting ready for your style of what we call fourth generation advice, new co type advice. But for all the other reasons we've pointed out, it generally pulls down productivity on firms that are, as I said, trying to renovate their own businesses whilst also adding on another business on the side. It's very difficult to live, exist and grow and gain the benefits. So we would say stick to the knitting, grow a business, get your fee tensions right, stop the address the undercharging issues, understand the value of clients being brought across, and then start adding more clients on the base. Anyway, as always, love to get your thoughts and thinking on this. This is going to be a key issue, I think, for when all firms will inorganically at some stage consider the taking that next leap up and bringing on the clients and other businesses. And there's some key considerations to consider. Love to get your feedback. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Certainty Roundtable podcast with Jim Stackpole. To access the material from today's show or to join in the conversation, head to www.certaintyadvicegroup.com. We'd love to hear your feedback, questions and opinions. Working together, we hope to achieve a lot more for more Australians. CertaintyAdviceGroup.com.